Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to set my watch. And we will quit at 50 minutes, whether I've finished or not. I will be finished, at least in 50 minutes. So let me set it. Get my stopwatch going. You can thank me afterward. Okay, where did Josh and Sammy get to? There they are. They're hiding in the back. Thank you for coming. They're visiting, Josh and Sammy Coleman. They live way over in Ohio toward the east. And where do you go? To go to Wheeling?
We go to Cambridge.
Cambridge. Okay. Well, good. We're glad to have you. They're here visiting her family. So we're glad to have them. I met him a long time ago at Feast of Tabernacles. So I've known him for a while. Well, we have all asked God to do something that we thought was important. Haven't you asked God to do important things? You know, a child's sick. You ask God to heal a child. Renee and I pray for a list of children that have problems. We pray for them every day. We have family prayer. I used to have family prayer when I was full-time working once a day. But Renee and I, since I'm retired, and she's sort of retired on Social Security, so she cooks a lot. I do the dishes usually, but we have family prayer morning and evening, and always pray for this list of children. Important. I mean, and other people where there's something serious. So you've all, way to go, add a little drama, yeah, a little music to go along with the sermon. I thought it was fitting, by the way. And there have been times when you've prayed for something earnestly, and sometimes God does what we ask. Sometimes He doesn't. It's not His will. Let me tell you, when it's something important that you really, really want, it's hard to say, "Thy will be done." Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's really hard to say that. Now, we can think of men and women in the Bible that have had great miracles performed. David, great miracles. Jesus, great miracles. Others that you can think of. Paul, Moses, can you think of any of the important servants of God in the Bible where they asked God to do something and He said no? Think about it. The great servants of God in the Bible. And they ask God earnestly for something. And He said no. Now, we had interactive Bible study. Can any of you think of somebody in the Bible where God said no? Yes, or what? Paul. All right. You want to say what it was? Absolutely. Yes. You know where that is? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 7 through 10. And I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. I think this is one of the more obvious examples in the Bible of a man of great faith. Great miracles occurred. And it says, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Why would he have been exalted above measure? Because God did so many miracles through Paul. And now here was something that was hitting him personally. We don't know exactly what it is, a thorn in the flesh. There have been guesses. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me," now, I don't know if he sent an angel to say this or if Paul just realized that God was saying no because he wasn't healed. So God said to him because of circumstances. "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" May have sent an angel to tell him that. Or another servant of God. They had prophets. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." There aren't many of us who do that, do we? "In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, I have titled this message today, "Faith to Trust God's Will." Faith to trust God's will. Or you could title it, "Faith to Accept a No." Faith to Accept a No. Okay, that was one example of a servant of God in the Bible. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Jesus, exactly. Now, that one we know so well that I'm not going to turn and read it. But what was it that Eric? Yes, "let this cup, if it be your will." You know, all his whole life he had known that God was going to let him be crucified. And then he got to the night before, and he did not want to do it. I mean, he was God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh. And he, in the flesh, had gotten cold, he had gotten hot, he had gotten hurt. I don't think he got sick. But you know, he came to the very night before, and he went to God and asked him, what was it, 3 times? And God said to him, same thing that Paul figured out. You know, you're going to do it. This was what we agreed to before you became a human being. So of all the beings that have ever lived, the most important human being that has ever lived, the most righteous human being, the only righteous human being, fully righteous, perfect. And he went to God 3 times. And he was so sincere that the sweat was coming down him like great drops of blood. That's how earnest he was in prayer. I've never had a prayer where I just broke into a sweat. And he figured, God said to him, no, you're going to do it. So Paul had to accept a no Jesus had to accept a no. Good examples. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
David wanted his son to be
fair. Yes. Yes. David. And think of the miracles that God did through David's hand. You know, slew Goliath. That wasn't David, that was God doing it through him. He had the faith in God. But now he had a baby. Let me tell you something. The most precious thing God has put on this earth, babies. Of course, you've heard me say what's second, right? Mothers. But babies. Here's this tiny, totally innocent baby. And yet, here was David, chosen by God. And he has set this awful example of getting another man's wife pregnant. And God was not going to let that go through and have that baby exist. I mean, God could have let the baby live. But we just have to sort of assume why he was going to let the baby, God was going to let the baby die. And David fasted, prayed, fasted, and prayed. David was so concerned and upset that his servants were afraid to even tell him that the baby died. God said no. Here was God's servant David. He's going to have high position in God's kingdom. Begging, fasting, praying. And God said no. Yes, ma'am.
Moses.
Moses. We'll turn to the Bible on this one, all right? Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verses 23 through 28. Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 20. We'll start in verse 23. Read down to verse 28. Here, God did all these great miracles. Opened up the Red Sea. Many miracles. And after all of that, putting up with the Israelites, rebelling for 40 years, and he was to take them to the promised land. And all he asked was not to live another 40 years, or another year. He just said, I want to see it. I just want to go over the Jordan River and see it. That's all he was asking. And God said no. He was going to let Joshua take them over. You know, that's Jesus' name, Yahushua, or Yahshua. But in the Greek it came out, you know, in our Bibles, in the Greek, comes out Jesus, or Jesus we call it. So it was going to be him. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, oh, Lord God, he's pleading. You have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me, so the Lord said to me, Enough of that. Then he said something that I don't know he's ever said to anybody else that I know of. I don't even want to hear it. Did your mother ever say that to you? You stop asking. I don't want to hear you ask again. You're not going to do it. Or was it just my mother who said things like that? But look, not only did God tell him, you're not going to go over, but he ordered him not to even bring it up again. Don't even talk about it. Now, there you are wanting to go, and God has told you, no, shut your mouth, don't even bring it up. Now that's a no. You talk about a no, that's a no. When your mother said, I don't want to hear it again, it was a no. So he said, the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. And behold it with your eyes. For you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people. And he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Well, those are some good examples that you gave. Those are some really good examples. I want to turn to Hebrews 11. What do we call Hebrews 11? Faith chapter. Faith chapter. I want to start in verse 29. And see something about the faith chapter. Something that is easy to overlook. Because when we think of the faith chapter, we think of them having faith and God answering their prayers. And it's true. Mostly. Hebrews 11, verse 29. You know, I was thinking this could be the most discouraging sermon you've heard in years. Or it could be the most encouraging. There's not a person in here where God hasn't said no. Something you've wanted. God didn't do it. By faith, Hebrews 11 verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. That was with Moses, the one who wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Boy, wasn't that wonderful? Wow. There's a wonderful example of God answering a prayer of Moses. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. That was with Joshua. What an example. Faith. God knocking those walls down. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? All right, here's some wonderful examples of faith and God answering their faith. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, listen to this list, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises. Oh, that's encouraging. What an encouraging list this is. Stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. In the lion's den. Quenched the violence of fire. Isn't this an encouraging list? Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight. The armies of the aliens. Here's a really good one. Women received their dead raised to life again. Hasn't this been a wonderful list? What's about to happen? Is there a change? Is there a change? It's still faith. Others were tortured. Wait. Through faith, I want to be delivered from torture. Jesus was tortured. And he didn't want to be. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Well, I like the better resurrection part, but you know, I'd rather just die in my sleep. Now, this is the faith chapter now. Torture. I'm sure, do you think that they asked God to be delivered? I would think so. Even Jesus asked to be delivered. Still others had trial of mockings. Oh, I'll take the mocking. Please leave off the scourging. And scourgings. Yes. And of chains and imprisonment. You know, if you end up in jail for being a Christian, you're going to pray to get out. You're going to pray that, you know, like the servants of God were the Peter and others, the doors just opened. Out they went. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. Hey, this is through faith. Do you think they asked to be delivered? I think so. They were sawn in two. Wasn't that Isaiah that was sawn in two? The reference was this. Apparently the history, not in the Bible, he hid in a hollow log. And they found him there and they just wedged him in and took a saw and cut through the log. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So we have to be praying and asking God for things. But it's God's decision as to whether he's going to say yes or no. And we have all gotten no's on occasion. And it can be discouraging. And yet the point we're looking at here is people of faith like Jesus and Paul and Moses all had to learn to accept a no. So if God isn't answering our prayer the way we want or as fast as we want, it doesn't mean God's unhappy with us. It just means sometimes he says no, because he knows, just like he did to Jesus. Now, there are times that if a Christian is willing to accept a no, let me look at my watch. Okay. We're halfway through. I could walk off now. You already got the point, didn't you? Sometimes I've noticed that when I was willing to accept a no, that God gave a yes. But it wasn't till I was, unless I was willing to accept a no. I mean, these are some things I've seen. When my first son was born in Boise, Idaho, David, 58 years ago? We were looking for a midwife, but there was a naturopath, man, who was willing to deliver at home. And that's what we wanted. So, we were in a little tiny duplex, tinier than the one Renee and I are living in now. Little one bedroom. And we put the plastic sheet on the bed, and the naturopath came. Now, what I did not know was that very day that the legislature, we were in Boise, which is the capital, that the legislature at the capital was considering rules and laws that doctors had put in to try to limit what chiropractors and naturopaths could do. So this guy came in the morning, and the sun was up and things, and he was due to be down at the Capitol to lobby with some of the legislators. So he was in a hurry. So David was born, but the placenta didn't come. So I didn't know. He started pulling on the cord. And the placenta came, but so did blood. I mean, she was bleeding. I went to pray, because this little was a in the hall that was just off the hall, there was a little bathroom. So I went into the bathroom and I knelt down and prayed and asked God to stop the bleeding. And I went back in and she was still bleeding. And I went back into the bathroom and knelt down and prayed and asked God to stop the bleeding. By the way, there was a church member, a lady, who came to help. Young lady who came over. We called and she drove over to be there also. Nice of her. And I went back out. She was still bleeding. I went back in the bathroom. I went in there three times to pray. By this time, Lucretia was looking white and had passed out. And the blood was still flowing. But the third time that I was in there, I said to God, "She belongs to you. She's yours. And you can do what you want. But that little baby needs her. And I need her. So I'm going to go out and hold her hand. And if you let her die, I accept it. But I'm asking you to stop that blood flow right now. But if you don't, I accept it. But I'm going to go out and be with her till she dies." I mean, even this naturopath was saying, "This looks bad, this looks bad, this looks bad." I walked out of the bathroom and that young lady who came to assist said, "Mr. Kellers, the blood flow just stopped like that instantly." Now, I've seen that happen. Sometimes I've accepted a no, and God gave me a no. That particular time, he gave me a yes. But I've accepted a no. I've said, "I accept a no," and God said, "Okay, that's what you're going to get, a no." I've had that happen many times. But I just thought that example would be somewhat of an encouragement. Interestingly enough, we had a problem that was not that serious with my next child, Freddie. By this time, we were in Richmond, Virginia. After spending a year in Maryland, I got moved around a lot. Churches couldn't take me very long. So now we were in Richmond, Virginia, and we had a midwife this time. Very nice lady. But I told her that for the first baby, they had pulled on the cord, and Lucretia bled quite a bit. So this wasn't as dramatic. But once again, after Freddie was born, the placenta didn't come. Finally, her contractions quit. But I had told the midwife, we're not going to pull that cord. And I thought, but I was going, now we were in a little townhouse where you have a living room and a kitchen and two bedrooms upstairs. Now we had two bedrooms. I mean, well, we had a child and we were going to get another one. And so we were upstairs where Lucretia was in bed. And I'd go down the stairs and go in the bathroom. There was a second bathroom downstairs, just a half bath, just a toilet and a sink. But I went down there and I'd pray. I did a lot of praying in bathrooms. Maybe you have too. Then I'd go back up, no contractions. I'd go down, I think it was three times again. And the third time, and Lucretia was completely awake, you know. I mean, she hadn't lost any blood. But I thought, this midwife is eventually going to say, we have to do something. We need to call an ambulance and take your wife to the hospital and let them do it. That she didn't say that, but that's what I was concerned about. And I knew Lucretia in no way wanted to go to a hospital. So at least, I think it was the third time again, I knelt down and asked God to bring the placenta. And then I got up and I knelt back down and I said, Father, if she goes to the hospital, if you allow that, she goes to the hospital. But I'm asking that you bring that placenta. And I went out, and once again, we had a young lady who was there assisting. Walked out of the bathroom to the bottom of the stairs, started to go up, and the young lady said, Mr. Kellers, the placenta just came. Now, sometimes we have to accept a no. Well, we still got time, plenty of time. And there's some other examples that I could give you. But I want to turn to Daniel, chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Now, there have been times when I've been willing to accept a no. And you know what God told me? Yeah, that's it, no. I mean, I asked God to heal Lucretia. To heal Lucretia. She was having seizures and strokes. Seizures, I should say. And not. And she lived 11 months and then she died. I told God the same thing. If you want to take her, you take her. And he did. We were married 53 years. I went through a year of tears. And God said no. He took her. And after a year of tears, I thought, what would Lucretia say if she could see how I have cried for a year? Fred, quit moping and get a life. I could just almost hear her say that. So then a few months later, I went to the Feast of Tabernacles and met this wonderful, wonderful lady. Thank you, Father. Daniel 3, verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sounds like we're going to have a song, answered and said to the king, fiery furnace. They're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. That sounds pretty positive, right? But then notice what they say. O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Boy, did that make Nebuchadnezzar angry. I was going to say mad, which is means crazy, but he probably was close to that too. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Now here is a command that is so hard to do. Let me tell you, I've been doing this, following this way, since 1959. And this is hard to do for me. Not easy. Be anxious for nothing. Wait. What he's saying is, don't worry about anything. Don't be concerned for anything. Wait, I'm about to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. I'm about to be stoned. I'm about to be sawn asunder. I'm about, you know, whatever it is. And he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Even when it's something really bad, throw in some thanks. Let your request be made known to God. By the way, I notice I'm leaning on the podium here. You know, when you're 83, that's... Actually, I'm trying to hold the podium down. That's... You notice so far it's working? With thanksgiving. I mean, right in the middle of something really bad. And I don't remember those times I gave going to the bathroom, kneeling down, if I thanked God as much as I should have. So something really, really, really is bad, and you're praying to God. You've got a sick child, a sick wife, a sick husband. And you're thanking God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, he doesn't say, and God will give you what you want. Doesn't say that. What it says, because God sometimes says no. What it says is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll have to say that when I finally said to God, when Lucretia was bleeding, whatever you decide, I accept. But I'm going to go in and be with her. I felt peace. I thought, if God takes her, I told God, I said, she belongs to you, not me. And if you want to take her, she's yours. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, again, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You know, I don't think I've got that quite mastered yet. That whatever state I am in to be content. But I'm trying. And I know you're trying. He says, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Wow, I can be abased. I know how to do it. I know how to abound. I'd like the abounding better. I think he did too. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And strengthens you. You can do it through Christ. Now, I hope you don't go through anything like Christ did. With the beatings and the scourging and then being nailed to a stake. That's pretty bad. John chapter 6. Verse 38 through 40. John chapter 6, 38 through 40. We're going to finish this before 50 minutes. You can hold your applause till the end to make sure we do finish before 50 minutes. John 6, verse 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven. This is Jesus. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, boy, is that wonderful. We need to do God's will, and Jesus Christ wants, and God the Father wants, every one of us to be in his kingdom. Jesus died so that we could be there. He accepted what the Father said, and we can be there. And then, last one, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is just a happy verse. Not necessarily about accepting a no. Like the title, Faith to Trust God's Will, or Faith to Accept a No. Whichever you like. First Timothy 2 verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, you, me. He desires for you to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. Wow. Not even 45 minutes. But I don't have any more to say.